Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I'm glad you've joined us here Saturdays, every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, streaming live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are archived at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we're replayed on Sundays at a2zen.fm, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. So lots of opportunities for you to be able to listen to the program and hear what our guests have to offer. Today is no exception, although the only exception is, for those listening to the live broadcast, you'll be able to call in. It is Saturday. It is actually the 8th of September. It is also the celebration, and I'm not going to play any celebratory music here, but other than suffice it to say, we celebrate our 5th year on the air with Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And we are blessed to have the myriad of guests that we do throughout the year, but in particular, we are blessed to have with us our first guest on Tell Me Your Story back on September 7th of 2007. We'll have to look that date up and find out just how auspicious and beneficent it is with our guest, David Hawthorne. David, welcome to the program. It's great to have you back on the program. And I want to let our listeners know the phone lines are open at 805-564-1290 or 866-564-1290 to call in. David, great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Richard. It's always a pleasure to speak with you and your audience. And, you know, you've been a great supporter over the years, and you have a lot of bright energy and good energy and well-meaning person, and I appreciate the fact that you are sharing knowledge with your listeners, with your audience out there, that you're a man of knowledge, and you like to find good things and share them with people, and it's been a great friendship. Our friendship goes back many years, and certainly the last 5 years while you've been on this particular program, and I'm glad you're doing it, and would love to talk anytime. So thanks again for contacting me.
Absolutely. And of course, to our listeners, if you'd like to receive a reading from David, we'll stop our conversing so that you can get a reading from David. It's from the Vedic astrological chart, which is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, over the years we've talked about this, 23 degrees off of the Western astrological signs, and we could go into that, but I'm going to encourage our listeners to go to our previous interviews where we've gone into sufficient dialogue on what that means and how that reflects on your given chart. I wanted to address a particular area, especially because we're sort of fresh into this. And as I've shared this with our listeners, I did last Saturday at the passing of our dear friend and partner I almost consider him a son. I have no children of my own, but I have many, many pets. And his name was Connor. His actually full name was, I believe, William Connor. William Connor Lehman McDonough, I believe, was the full name that we gave him. And sadly, he passed away 2 weeks ago. But as we were just chatting before the program today, I was curious as to the relationship to those who pass in reference to those who are still here regarding their chart. And more specifically, I would even ask the question, though you don't have to address it in specifics. Amrit and I obviously are, you know, we're very, very close to him. And I'm curious as to whether any study has ever been done referencing events that happen to people. And we go back and we see there it was right there in your chart that in this period of time, and in this case, it was August 27th, but maybe surrounding that 1 or 2 or 3 day period, you may experience loss of relationship, loss of a loved one, a sort of a negative occurrence. I always think of K2 as the negative aspect. But has that ever been something that has ever been looked at in that regard, correlating the living or those who have experienced these events and saying, see, this is where we talked about this last year when I did your chart. And then you experience this event, that's what that event was.
Well, absolutely, Richard. You're on track here. And first off, let's get real clear on this, because you didn't mention anything just now on air, who Connor is. Is he a nephew?
Connor was my wife's protector. He was a shepherd, a chow mix. He was 6.5 years old.
Okay.
And bitten by a rattlesnake.
That's too bad. But yes, the answer to your question is yes, yes. We can see everything in a chart. We can see, you know, maybe not like television type of seeing.
Right.
But we can see the certain influences. Now, what I did is I just took your chart and I just overlaid the transits for August 27th, and you were on the right track. It wasn't K2, but it was the northern node of the moon, Rahu, was at exactly 6 degrees, aspecting both your fifth ruler, Mercury, and the fifth house is connected with pets, and moon. So your moon's at 6 degrees, and your Mercury's at 5 degrees. The moon is the peace of mind and your emotional state, and Mercury rules your fifth house, which is also pets as well as mind. And so, it's something with past life karmas type of thing. But yes, you had a Rahu influence, and I think, quite frankly, this indicates that I think there's something good that came out of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is that, see, Mercury rules the fifth house, which is called pets, but it's also the fifth house of mind, and it's also the fifth house of children.
Mm.
So it's like, I think if you had a child, then this would have been a difficult time for your child. And basically, Rahu and K2 have been causing some issues in your chart. Going back to May. It was May, June, July, August, September. They're starting to separate now. In fact, today, instead of being 6 degrees where they were when you lost Connor, they're now at 4 degrees. Mm-hmm. So they're separating. So they always travel retrograde. So they're pulling off here. So I would say in about another 2 weeks, you're going to feel pretty good. You're going to feel some kind of, you know, some kind of relief. Because that Rahu, which is this mathematical ecliptic points, which can cause confusion and calamities and take things away, will no longer be afflicting your emotional state, your mental state, and the house of children, the house of pets.
Hmm. I know that if we had been, say, following our charts in that regard, it would not have told us what to look out for, but it would have been an awareness on our part that, you know, we need to be mindful that, you know, we're going to be facing some challenges in these areas. And when you say going back to May, that's rather interesting because it was the first time that I can ever remember actually taking 3 days off from work because I was so ill. I was just I was too weak to go anywhere. And so it's kind of like that's where it all began for me in terms of those kinds of things. Let me remind our listeners, the phone numbers are 805-564-1290 or 866-564-1290. If you'd like to receive a reading from David Hawthorne, our Vedic astrologer, 3-minute astrology readings is what we offer here on this particular program, the 5th anniversary of Tell Me Your Story. And again, the phone numbers once again are 805-564-1290, or if you're outside the area, you're listening on the internet, you'd like to call in toll-free, 866-564-1290. Now, David, I know that as we've talked over the years, the length of study, the number of years that you've been studying Vedic astrology continues to grow because you're always studying and researching and learning. And I'm wondering, you talk a great deal, and I was looking at your website and I saw the pictures there of your kids. I believe who are now, what, in college? They're college age now?
Yes, actually, you know, I have 3 children. My 27-year-old son actually is out in L.A. right now, but my 25-year-old daughter and 18-year-old son were actually in my office this afternoon for one of my Vedic astrology classes. They are also learning and want to pursue this. My daughter wants to pursue it professionally. My son wants to know it just for his own use.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been doing planetary remedies for his chart for many years. He's 18 years old. All of his friends in May graduated from high school, and my son actually graduated from college. So he's got 3 college degrees, and he's 18 years old, and I'm really proud of him. And he's doing the planetary remedies for his chart, and so that's a good thing.
I'm 52. I have no college degrees, but that's okay. and I congratulate you and him on, and your all your kids there on that endeavor. I know that that it is not, it's not an easy course of study, especially if you have studied Western astrology. And I only say that because Vedic astrology is a science. It's mathematics. There is no arbitrariness, if you will, about it when you're putting the chart together.
Well, actually, you're absolutely right. It is a science. It is a mathematical science. We call it a divine science, and it's based on mathematics. It's based on the position of the planets at the time of your birth. So that part is true, and we're fortunate that in this generation we can have software that creates charts. So in the old days, the astrologer would have to do all this calculation by hand, and it would have to be quite brilliant mathematically. So we're lucky we don't have to go down that path. And quite frankly, if you have a very good teacher, you know, like any endeavor, if you have a good teacher, you can make pretty good progress in a short amount of time. You know, if you sit down to, you know, you decide you fall in love with the piano, and you sit down and you've never had a lesson, and you've never had a teacher, and you want to play a sonata, it's probably going to take quite a while before you figure out how to play a sonata. But if you get the right teacher, then that can take a shortcut. However, unfortunately, there are a lot of musicians and even teachers who cannot teach. And so you might end up with a teacher who spends many years with you, and you really haven't accomplished a great deal. But once in a while, some teacher will come along who is very gifted. And I've been studying Vedic astrology for 25 years, and my break was about 15 years ago to meet a professor, V.K. Chaudhary, in India. And today, I believe that he's the most brilliant professor of Vedic astrology in the world. And his paradigm, although it seems a little bit cumbersome at the beginning, it turns out is quite simple. We're only dealing with four elements, the 12 houses of life. We use the nine planets. We use the same planets that Western astrologers use. And by the way, Western astrologers can pick this up quite easy because a lot of it is transferable. In other words, you know, sun is father, moon is mother, Jupiter's husband, Venus is wife. Everybody knows that. So, but the point is we deal with the houses, the 12 houses. We deal with the nine planets. We deal with the 12 signs of the zodiac. And then the last fourth component is just the timing of events. We can see the past, present, and future general trends in any person's life. There's so many applications. This is why I'm excited now moving into, I'm now 66, and I'm moving into my phase where I want to pass along this knowledge to my students, and We want to build a lot. We want more. We now have 800 Vedic astrologers in our organization. I'm president of that organization. And we want to have more astrologers. We want to have people who, anybody can learn this. Mm-hmm. I absolutely disagree that this is, really difficult to learn. It's four simple elements. We memorize what the 12 houses represent, what the signs represent, what the planets represent, and then we just look at the timing of events, which is done by the software program will do that. But I'm just so grateful for this precious knowledge. It's definitely divine science, and it basically sheds light on a person's karma. We get to see the karma that we brought in this lifetime to work out, and we know that karma does not manifest all at once. Life doesn't happen all at once. It happens according to the hands on the clock. People can go up for a while, and they can go down for a while. Look at Richard Nixon, went up and then went down. Mm-hmm. Look at O.J. Simpson, went up and went down. Look at Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela and these kind of people who spend time in prison and later rule countries. So you can go up and down according to the hands on the clock. Now, it's not fatalistic. Yes, on the one hand, everything in the horoscope is predestined and will come to pass. No question. Everything in a horoscope is predestined and will come to pass. But anything in a horoscope can be changed. Now, that's a tremendous paradox. So which is it, predestiny or free will? And the answer is, if you are not aware of how the planets are operating in your horoscope, if you don't know when they are operating in your horoscope, and if you don't know what to do to fix your chart, then yes, you will meet with the destiny in the chart. And this is why people have the same problems over and over and over. Mm. Multiple marriages, multiple health problems, financial problems, mental problems, emotional problems, relationship problems. But once we turn on the light of this knowledge. Vedic astrology in India is called Jyotisha, which means the divine science of light on time and karma. So when we shed light on the person's horoscope, then darkness disappears. And I'm a huge believer that if we do the planetary astral remedies for charts, it will help to reduce the chance for grave mishaps, misfortunes, and the dreaded diseases. Again, I'm 66. I didn't know about the remedies till 15 years ago. I would say the last 10 years, best 10 years of my life. Mm. So I'm a big believer in doing the twofold remedies for charts. One, the highest remedy, in my opinion, is helping other people. So anytime you do charities, food, clothing, shelter, service, donations for the elderly, the poor and the needy, afflicted persons, children, students, or animals, mm-hmm. then you've just done a planetary astral remedy for your own chart. And so I recommend you do it monthly to help keep yourself out of trouble. Mm-hmm. There are two other remedies I recommend. One is listening to spiritual music. And I don't care if you listen to Christian chants, Gregorian chants, Buddhist chants, Zen chants, Vedic chants from India. Listen to spiritual music from time to time. It really helps the psychophysiology. It has an actual impact on the physiology. This is why they listen to mantras and ohms and chants and all that. The third remedy for the chart is scripture, reading some spiritual knowledge. And you can read the Bible, you can read the Bhagavad Gita, you can read anything in between. You can read Emerson's essays, you can read Shakespeare, you can read poetry. Whatever keeps the mind and heart pure and elevated, this is what we want to do as way as planetary astral remedies. Now, you can also strengthen your planets that are weak. Nobody has a perfect chart. I've done charts for 10,000 clients. I've never seen a perfect chart. We all have some weakness, some affliction, some debilitation, some bad placement. And so we want to do the remedies to strengthen those planets. Mm-hmm. For example, in your chart, it would be really good for you to wear a blue sapphire gemstone to strengthen your Saturn ruling your career. Now, Saturn rules your career. It's in your eighth house. So it connects your career with research, mystical experiences, and occult knowledge. So you've found the right dharma, the right path for your career. Otherwise, if you're not aware of this and you don't do the remedies for your chart, you would have had just, when the ruler of the 10th house of career is in the 8th house, the person is usually going through setbacks and delays and disappointments, transformations, and vulnerability in the career. Mm-hmm. But when you start doing the remedies like the gemstone, see, all the ancient kings and queens and royal persons of India had an astrologer in their court, and they would advise the proper gemstones, and they would wear them on their crowns and as pendants and rings. So the blue sapphire is very good for your career, and you already know that my favorite remedy is the mystical pendant, mm-hmm. which is a little silver medallion that's engraved with the mystical numbers that represent your benefic planets, therefore representing your benefic gemstones.
I remember
one mystical pendant is like wearing. So since you've had yours for years, and yep. this, in my opinion, it is not it's not a magic wand. Mm-mm. It doesn't protect you from everything. We all have karma, but instead of it being overwhelming 80, 90, 100% karma, then it comes more like 30, 20, 10%. It's much more manageable.
Yeah. I know that, matter of fact, I believe I'm actually coming up on the fifth or sixth year of wearing it. I remember... I think it was after we moved here that I purchased it. But I remember you used one word in particular, that the kvatch would help to support and or bolster in that respect. And that was a level of confidence. I remember that one word in particular. And I can honestly say that I have experienced it. And some would say, well, yeah, but how do you know you wouldn't have experienced it without it? I said, well, I don't. I have no clue. But I will tell you that I have experienced it. So whether I give the credit to the kvatch or not, the reality is, the whole point is, from what I'm hearing you say, is that it isn't necessarily one particular source of information or what have you. It's more, Are you growing? Are you changing? Are you becoming the person that you truly want to be? Are you able to face the various aspects of, let's say, your chart in terms of the bumps in the road, in terms of instead of the 80 or 90 or 100%, the 10, 20, 30%? And I would have to say, yeah, that it's the latter, not the former, that the bumps in the road are still there, but I'm not feeling jostled around nearly as much as I might have been otherwise without the awareness.
That's a perfect explanation. The analogy I use is that these planets are the tires on our bus of life.
Mm-hmm.
And if our planets are weak, afflicted, debilitated, or badly placed, and we don't know it, then that means our tires on our bus of life are low in air. And most people are going down the highway of life with a few tires low in air, so they're going ka-thump, 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 whether it's relationships, career, health, whatever. Now, when we put air back in the tires, and that's what happened to me, I put my first mystical pendant on 15 years ago. And after 1 year, I felt like, wow, this is putting air in my tires. I feel like things are smoothing out. And I've had that experience now for 15 years. It gets better all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is absolutely amazing. So anyhow.
But again, it goes back to the same point. It doesn't smooth out the bumps in the road. It only makes you more consciously aware when you hit them, so you're not jostled around by them as much.
Well, I call it, I think it does smooth out the bumps. I think instead of having a major bump, it's more like a speed bump.
Okay.
You know, reminds me. Let me tell you. Unless there's a listener that wants a reading,
not
if
yet.
There's nobody there, I got a story to tell you.
And before you tell the story, just give the numbers out one more time of 805-564-1290. That's if you're in the local area here on the Central Coast. We'd love to hear from you. If you're listening online and you'd like a reading, toll free. 866-564-1290. That's 866-564-1290. And we'll go to your story, and then we're going to take our break. So go ahead, and we've got plenty of time in that regard.
Okay.
So let's hear what you hear your story.
All right. Well, first off, I want to tell you that on October 8, 2007, you put on your mystical pendant.
Yes.
About 1:50 p.m. in the Santa Barbara area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the story was just about karma. I find this kind of amusing, and it illustrates, you know, how our own choices impact our karma. There's a story about these two seekers, spiritual seekers in the United States, decide to travel to India to see a world-famous guru. So they arrive at the ashram, knock on the door, and say, "We're here, we'd like to see the guru." And they're invited into the ashram, and they're told, "Yes, you can see the guru, no problem, in 1 month. You must wait 1 month, and then you can see him." So they think, what to do? Do we go back to the United States and come back in a month, or we just stay here for a month? So they decide. One decides he's going to stay in the ashram for 1 month. And he decides during that month he's going to meditate, and he's going to help the poor and the needy, and he's going to study spiritual knowledge. He's going to eat rice and dal and just be as pure and as spiritual as possible for the 1 month. The other one says, you know, I'm a bit of a party boy. I'm just going to go visit Bombay and see what I can find. He goes to Bombay, and he ends up in bars and brothels, and he has a great old time. Well, on the day they're supposed to meet with the guru, he's coming back from Bombay, and he finds a solid gold coin, and he shows it to his friend. Now, his friend, who had been sitting in the ashram for the whole month, on that morning is walking someplace, and he accidentally trips, and he painfully twists and injures his ankle, and he needs some kind of a, you know, cane to help him for the next day or so. So they meet with the guru. They have this wonderful meeting. And at the end of the meeting, the one who injured himself, he says, "Oh, guru, I have a question about karma. I really don't understand karma. I've been sitting in this ashram for 1 month, meditating, eating rice and dal, taking care of the lepers and the poor and the needy and holy persons. And today I meet with an accident and I'm painfully injured. And my friend, he goes to Bombay, he's been hanging around in bars and brothels, having a great old time, and he found a solid gold coin today. Is that fair?"
Hmm.
And the guru just looks at him and starts to laugh. And then he says, "Today, young man, you were supposed to meet with an accident that took your life.
Ooh.
And your friend, he was supposed to find a large box full of solid gold coins.
And he only found one.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we take our break, we are actually going, we'll take the break late. We're going to go to our first caller. Her name is Andrea, and we'll put her on the line here. Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. David Hawthorne is on the line. And David, take it away.
Oh, very good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Help me with your first name,
Andrea. Yeah, Andrea.
And I need your date of birth.
It's 9/16. 78.
So September 16th, 1978, do you have your time of birth?
Yep, it's 2 a.m., 34 minutes, and 56 seconds.
Oh, this is...
extremely precise there.
Yeah, that's pretty precise. 2:34:56, right? 2 a.m., 34 minutes, and 56 seconds, correct?
Yes.
What state were you born in?
Missouri.
Okay. And I need the city.
St. Louis.
Very good. So have you had a Vedic astrology reading in the past?
Yes, actually. I know a lot about it, actually, and I even get your newsletter.
All right, very good. Because that's pretty rectified. That sounds like a rectified chart.
It is.
Okay, let me just tell you, give you my 3 minutes on your chart here.
Sweet.
You have, this is called a Cancer rising sign, which is a royal sign ruled by the royal moon. Now, so for your chart, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars will never cause harm. These five planets are your what we call functional benefic planets. They're favorable.
Okay.
You can and should strengthen them for better results. Now,
okay.
You can wear, in other words, you can wear a ruby for the Sun, you can wear a pearl for the Moon, you can wear an emerald for the Mercury, you can wear a diamond for the Venus, and you can wear a red coral for the Mars. But let's really analyze this a little better and see which one you really need. Now, Moon ruling your chart has gone into the eighth house, into Aquarius. That means you're unconventional, imaginative, and creative. In fact, I think Cancer rising sign persons are extremely creative people. They're good for writing music, for writing, for theater, the arts. They're very family-oriented. They're very sensitive. They're very royal. But Moon ruling a chart has gone into the eighth house. So you're also accident-prone. You need to take care of yourself. It is good for research, mystical experiences, occult knowledge. But because it's in the eighth house, you are vulnerable. So you do need to wear a single pearl. I would get a 10-carat pearl and wear that as a pendant. You can wear white clothing, and you can take calcium, magnesium to strengthen your moon. You were actually born, Sun and Moon are exactly opposite each other. Your Sun, I know in Western astrology, your Sun is in Virgo, but forget that. We're not using Western astrology. We're using Vedic astrology. So your Sun moves back into Leo, which is opposite Moon and Aquarius. That means you were born during full moon. This tells me that wherever you go, people notice you. People always say, look, there's a full moon. Now, you can
wear a ruby. I was conceived on a full moon, too.
Pardon me?
I was conceived on a full moon, too.
So Sun is in Leo. It's a very good place. You can wear a red coral gemstone, a ruby gemstone, because Sun is at 29 degrees, so there's some weakness of your digestion and your cardiovascular system. So wear a ruby gemstone. Now, you have Mercury in the second house. See, you have Sun, Mercury, and Saturn in the second house. So Sun in the second house says you speak as an authority figure with a golden voice. Mercury in the second house says you're very good at communications. Saturn in the second house says that you're very conservative and you know how to measure your words. Now, you also have Jupiter in the first house. That means this is good for publishing, teaching, consulting, and advisory roles. But we have a little bit of a problem. Jupiter rules your sixth house, so he's not really one of your more favorable planets. And he brings conflicts to you, disputes to you, enemies, false allegation, bankruptcy, divorce, enemies, and health issues. This is why you need to wear the pearl and strengthen your moon. He's also afflicting your fifth house of children, seventh house of marriage, and ninth house of father. So there's definitely some issues going on, and we need to reduce the impact of Jupiter causing this adversity in your life.
Mm-hmm.
The remedy for Jupiter is to help your guru or your clergy, your religious leader, on Thursday. You can also help children and students on Thursdays. And if you marry, if you're married, then it's good to help your husband on Thursday from time to time. And for you, never wear a yellow sapphire gemstone. Never wear yellow colors. And because Saturn rules your eighth house, do not wear black gemstones. Do not wear a blue sapphire gemstone. And in fact, try to avoid wearing brown colors, gray colors, dull colors, and even black colors. Not so safe for your chart. I know black is a big fashion statement, but it's not safe for your chart. White is better, and greens. If you want to wear something dark, then wear the hunter green or a black spruce or something. Real dark green is fine. Now, Mars rules your house of career, and it's in the fourth house. So it says it's okay for you to work out of your home. And Venus ruling the fourth house is in the fourth house. This gives you affluence, and it gives you a beautiful home, and it gives you beautiful automobile, beautiful clothing, and it's also good for having the arts in your home, fine arts, performing arts, healing arts. Boy, you have a beautiful Venus in its own sign, absolutely sterling Venus. Let me look and make sure there's no other affliction to it or any other problem to it.
I think Saturn aspects it.
There you go. You got it. You're very good. You should be on the radio. Okay, so Saturn aspect. So Saturn ruling your 8th house is at 12, almost 13 degrees. It does aspect your Venus at 14 degrees. So that could give you an inheritance or windfall, but it also causes some potential for accidents with transportation. So be careful with all modes of transportation, whether it's automobiles, horses, motorcycles, trains, buses, planes, boats. And also it says you should not take sugar products. There's some problem for your kidneys, your pancreas, reproductive organs. And you should wear a nice 1-carat diamond and strengthen that Venus. And you don't want to wear the black gemstones and the black colors. It would bring some tragedy to your parents and property and happiness and home life and vehicles. Mm-hmm. That's your little bully in the chart. Now, the remedy for Saturn is to help the elderly and the poor and the needy on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That would be very, very important for your chart. And so these are the main points. We only have so much time per chart, so we want to just give you some of the main. You are running your 17 years of Mercury, which is favorable. This started in December 2009. So you've got another 15 years or so to go, and 14, 15 years. And what I would do is, you know, emerald gemstone is good for you, but even though Mercury's combust, it is in a good position. And
even though
it's more important,
between Saturn and Sun?
Yes, but see, it's more than 5 degrees from Saturn, so there's no real impact. If planets are not within 5 degrees, or even 1 or 2 degrees especially, then the impact is not so much. We don't worry on it so much. So Mercury's in pretty good shape. So in general, this is a time for independence, self-expression, writing. You are a messenger during this time. If you want to wear an emerald, you can. Keep lots of green plants, green colors in your life. That's perfect. That's quite good. You are in your K2 sub-period for 1 year, from May 2012 to May 2013. And this says this is a time of profound spiritual progress. And if you're not married already, between May 2013 and March 2016, your little 3-year Venus sub-period, you will have serious romance and matrimony. If you strengthen your Venus, you can wear a diamond. So these are the main points. I hope this is helpful.
Yeah, thank you. That was really awesome.
All right. Thank you for calling, Andrea.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye. All right. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a break, and we'll be coming back again. The phone number is 866-564-1290 if you're outside the area, or you can call locally 805-564-1290. We'll take your calls after this break. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Professional glassblower and craftsman Saul Alcaraz of Santa Barbara Art Glass can teach you to make that special gift for that special someone.
I guarantee that if you come in here, you will make paperweights, tumblers, or a mug, a bowl. You will get it done on your first lesson, even if you've never done it. Guarantee.
If I wanted to learn how to blow glass, what do I need to come to Saul with?
You gotta be extremely hyper, especially if you're gonna be doing it professional. You only have like 5 seconds to work with. If you wanna create art and sculpting and all that kind of stuff, then it's not a problem. You can take your time. Glass will not break.
Can people come by the shop unexpected?
I like it when they come in unexpected, and they'll probably bring some good energy in. Our studio, it's at 706 East Mason Street, 2 blocks from Miotas in Santa Barbara.
How do people get a hold of you?
Check out my website, sbrglass.com, or call us at 805-965-1541.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804. And we're back here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, fifth anniversary program, as we are talking now with Beth McDonald, our astronomical and astrological assignment editor, on this eighth day of September 2012. We're hurtling towards the end of the year, Beth, but we are here in Virgo right now. And by the way, first of all, with the parameters of Virgo, starting what date and ending what date?
Well, it's between the 19th and about the 22nd of August, depending on the year.
Okay.
To about the 19th or the 22nd of September.
So nearly a full month of, and I guess each sign is basically a full month.
Right.
So we were talking last week a little bit about some of the aspects of Virgo being of service.
Right. They really need to feel like they're making a difference for the people that they love and for the people in their communities and their world. You know, one of the things I love about Virgo is it's an earth sign, and those guys are very practical, they're very deliberate, they're very calculating, they like to analyze things from all the angles so that they're making good choices. Excuse me, they're not impulsive, each sign is said to be a response to the one that came before and the one that comes after. Leo, the sign that comes before Virgo, is very, very impulsive. It's very freedom-loving. It thinks something and then it just does it. Virgo is exactly the opposite. It's very calculating. It doesn't like to take risks. It doesn't like to be surprised.
Interesting.
So it's very good. You know, Virgo is one of the three signs that rules the harvest season. And so, you know, we are technically in the harvest season. Now for us in urban societies, the harvest is more of a metaphor than it is something very, very literal. But this is the time when we are starting to think about, again, what goals had we set at the beginning of the year? And what goals did we achieve? And what are we still working on? And what worked and what didn't? We're in that analyzation process.
Right. And that actually ties into, I mean, how great that is that you just picked up, because that was kind of my next question. What's going on through this period of time that Virgo is able to tie into? And of course, then that goes into October as well, because many cases, we're still harvesting. I mean, the harvest isn't over.
Yeah, the harvest is a three-month period. Yeah. The ancients had three different harvest
celebrations. Is it August, September, October?
Yes, August, September, October. August was the beginning, and it was the first fruits of the harvest, and then the fall equinox, which is coming, mm-hmm. is the middle of the harvest, and then Samhain is or Halloween is the end of the harvest, and there's very specific actions for each one. This point of time, we're kind of assessing what we've harvested and what we haven't, and technically, what are we going to need to get through the winter months?
Yeah, and that's a real key. I know that in our modern society here in the Western culture, we tend to stock up for months, if not years. Some people actually have, based upon even their just belief systems, they'll have a pantry filled with food that's going to get them through for a couple of years, which means that a lot of the food that they have in there is processed. Whereas if you were living 150 to 200 years ago, you only stocked up for the winter. Getting you into spring when you could start getting out there again and start gathering the fruits and nuts and whatever it was you were going to eat.
Right. For a lot of us, the material harvest is much more about finances.
Yeah.
Especially those of us, you know, everybody's pretty much got the two-income household now. And a lot of times now, we're looking at our year-to-dates. You know, we've got 3 months to save the year, you know, or to prepare for the tax season. You know, a lot of us this time of year are looking ahead.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of my job. It's what we do. It's like, how do we prepare so that we can have more of what we want and that there are fewer surprises and fewer unmanageables?
I do have to say that I used to celebrate, just internally, the turning from August to September as a kid growing up, because I knew that the temperatures were going to start getting cooler. Obviously, living in Phoenix, always wanted that. But I knew school was starting. I knew football season was starting. All of these activities were getting underway, and I really enjoyed the positioning
the
of the sun and the change as the sun and the shadows changed.
Yeah.
And there was such a, because obviously I enjoy the cool weather more than most. And so I just, it was like, oh, it's coming. It's coming. And I would get a little bit excited, as I am even now, not just this moment, but I mean, just in general, here we are in September and just feeling like, this is going to be great. Cooler temperatures. And
days are getting shorter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's noticeable things.
Yeah.
Noticeable things.
And that's kind of cool.
The creeks are a little drier.
Yeah. And we're looking for hopefully some rain this fall and winter, maybe some snow, I mean, depending upon where you live.
Right.
And we're also looking for an opportunity to talk with Beth McDonald at BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. You can call her at 963-0842. 805 is the area code if you're outside the Central California area. And we will look forward to talking with you again next week as we get closer to the end of Virgo and into our next sign.
Awesome. Thank you, Richard.
Stay tuned. There's more Tell Me Your Story coming up.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Today's Chari Center of Health quick tip is for heart health. What is cholesterol made of? Cholesterol, a waxy nutrient, is made up of fats, proteins, and lipids, and it does not dissolve well in blood. To make things easier, cholesterol hitches a ride on fatty proteins called lipoproteins to travel in the bloodstream. What is the importance of lipoprotein? Low-density lipoproteins, or LDL, is known as the bad cholesterol, since this is the main source of artery blockage, and it carries cholesterol from the liver to the body. The more LDL cholesterol, the greater the risk of heart disease. If you have heart disease or have risk factors for it, and your LDL is 100 milligrams per deciliter or higher, this may need to be reduced. Any score over 130 milligrams per deciliter is considered high. High-density lipoproteins, or HDL, is known as the good cholesterol. HDL carries cholesterol from other parts of the body to the liver for processing and removal out of the body.
HDL helps to keep cholesterol from building up in the walls of the arteries, and the higher the number, the better. If your level of HDL cholesterol is below 40 milligrams per deciliter, you are at a higher risk for heart disease. 30 minutes of exercise 5 times a week reduces LDL cholesterol and can raise HDL cholesterol. What are triglycerides? Triglycerides are a form of fat carried through the bloodstream, and levels should be below 150 milligrams per deciliter. Some cholesterol and triglyceride-lowering health tips include: add healthy fats in your diet such as seafood, walnuts, and almonds. Use monounsaturated oils, including olive oil, and take a fish oil or krill oil supplement. Avoid saturated fats and trans fats that are found in foods such as cookies, chips, cakes, and fast foods. These fats lower HDL and can raise LDL levels. This healthy diet will improve cholesterol levels, help you lose weight, and prevent heart disease and type 2 diabetes.
Take your health to the next level. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
Stories, I'll do my best to understand.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm here with astrologer, Vedic astrologer David Hawthorne, and we have been talking off air about a lot of interesting things. One in particular is similar to what we started with on the program, and that is the correlation between the charts. If you were to take all 10,000 charts of the 10,000 people that you have created charts for and overlay them over a calendar and specifically over December 21st, 2012, or again, that particular period in our not too distant future, because a lot of energy, a lot of emotion has been created and generated over this particular period, and I know a lot of money has also been generated by people over this as well. And I'm curious as to your research or your findings or what do you see in that respect? Is there a speed bump for all of us at that particular point in our near future?
Well, let me say a couple of things. We can definitely see things in terms of collective issues, no question.
Okay.
For example, my professor in India did say that everyone that we'd lost in the World Trade Center, if we looked at all those charts, every single chart would show some catastrophe on that particular day.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if we even look at the chart for that date, let me just do it right here. That was September the 11th. Mm-hmm. 2001, what we're going to see is that, here it is, it was around 10 o'clock in the morning, something like that, 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, between 8 and 9, uh-huh.
Yeah,
Eastern
New
time.
York. Okay, New York. I remember in the back of my mind that there was this huge issue with Mars and K2. Let me just see if I'm correct on that. Yeah, Mars and K2 were in exact conjunction on that day. And Mars is explosion, military, and K2 is this old karma. So that's what was really the biggest issue, in my opinion. There was also a Saturn influence on Venus, and that wasn't so ideal. But I think the biggest issue was that Mars, K2, causes violence, so this explosion type of thing. Now, when I run the chart for December 21st coming up, or what is it? Isn't it December 21st?
December 21st.
2012?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we see nothing major at all.
Okay.
So I agree with you. You said something off air that this, yeah, you feel like it's a little bit more like Y2K.
Exactly.
Yeah, and my theory, I have a little pet theory on it, is that, you know, it's based on the end of the Mayan calendar. Well, what I think, see, when I run somebody's chart and give them a chart for their horoscope, it has their dasha sequence. It has their timeline, their lifeline. And if, you know, just for, I'm not going to run it for the next 10,000 years.
Right.
You know, I run it for another 100 years or something. But I give them that. So I think what happened, the Mayans just ran out of calendar. You know, they just said, well, why do a calendar for more than 2,000 years?
Yeah. I like Amrita's theory that the guy who is creating the calendar on stone, he just got fed up. He says, I've had enough. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done.
Right.
And walked away.
Right. Yeah. What's the point? Why are we doing this for 1,000 years from now?
Yeah.
So I don't see it as an issue. However, not to be an alarmist, what I don't like is about 4 months, maybe 5 months, maybe even 6 months in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the one that I'm concerned about, my professor in India is concerned about for the whole world. There's going to be a major Rahu affliction to Saturn.
Hmm.
And so we're definitely think that's going to be a tough year. We can see things collectively. We can look at charts and see what's going on. But
now, is that how you do that? You just take the existing charts that you have and you kind of correlate them together in that respect and you can see the trends? Because you can't actually create a chart for the Earth because you don't really have the same three parameters.
Correct. But what I'm using is what we can do is there's something where we can do charts for the countries. And so we have a chart. I have a chart that I use for the chart for the United States of America. And here, I just corrupted it. Let me just pull it back up again here. Computers.
Live radio and computers.
Anyways, yeah. But I have a chart for the United States. Mm-hmm. And it does seem, you know, we've done a lot of research on this over the years. It was actually a group effort. It wasn't me. It was a bunch of astrologers that worked together on this project. And what we found is that we found a chart that where everything from stock market crashes to wars to assassination attempts and assassinations, all these things show up. So I'm pretty confident that I have the chart for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, as we speak right now, there's a Rahu Ketu affliction to Jupiter ruling the sixth house of conflict. So there's some big conflicts going on, mostly with the political parties. And they're also afflicting Jupiter ruling the finances and banking. So there's some real serious issues going on. But I do think a lot of this is going to clear up around the election time. And, you know, and as you brought out, you remember quite clearly the story that I talk about where Sun rules government.
Mm-hmm.
And every single year when we have our national elections, this first Tuesday in November, is when Sun is always in its debilitation sign. Sun is always debilitated using the sidereal zodiac and Vedic astrology. Sun is debilitated from the middle of October to the middle of November.
Mm-hmm.
Every single year. And that's what we hold our local elections and our national elections every 4 years. And so it's a silly time, in my opinion, when Sun representing government is debilitated.
Yeah.
So I think we would be better served if we did elections when Sun was exalted in Aries or in its own sign of Leo, even which is usually middle of. Let's see, that's the middle of Sun in Leo is middle of August to middle of September, where we are right now.
Right now,
Sun,
yeah.
Sun
yeah.
is exalted.
Yeah, we could have used the conventions as the platform.
Right.
Right. Then we'd
right.
be done. We'd
right,
be done
right.
today. Now, right. before we wrap up, because we only have a couple minutes left, I want to let our listeners know they can get a hold of you through astroview.com, and your email is david@astroview.com, and they can get in touch with you about more further things, whether they're interested in a full reading or if they'd like to maybe take a look, and if they're interested in the Kavach, which is the silver medallion that I and Amrita both wear, or anything else for that, teaching the books and teaching materials to learn Vedic astrology for yourself. As a matter of fact, your book, which I don't have in front of me, is just that. It's basically become your own Vedic astrologer. So we encourage people to check that out. And David, I want to thank you again for joining us and sharing with us on this fifth anniversary.
Oh, it was great. I always like to chat with you, and I wish you and your family and all the best. And I'm sorry about the loss of Connor. And, you know, the good thing is that he just has served his karma, and he's moving on to higher planes, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So you know, it's okay and important to grieve over the loss of someone close, but it's also important to not be overly attached so that they cannot evolve.
Yeah.
So they cannot continue to move on. So we have some grief. We respect the grief, but we have to let it go.
Yeah.
And we can't, these people who are still hanging on to Elvis Presley, it's not good for Elvis.
That's right, exactly. No, I agree with you. Well, before we wrap up the program, in studio I've had with me both Amrita, but I've also had my dog, Makushla, who has been wandering the halls here and sitting here beside me, and I thank her for being with us. And again, David, it's great to have you, and we'll have you back on again first part of 2013 to take a look. Until next Saturday, love to Lal.